and cookies and peanut butter and duct tape and high-grade plastics and those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got a few segments left here yet to help you out. We're talking about things you can do to prepare your data in case of disaster. And you can check out links to the resources, to the things we're talking about, to our Geek Speak of the Week, our audio archives, our past shows, links to ask questions and make suggestions. There's a whole cornucopia of resources, all online at datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, and you can check all that stuff out right there.
Cool.
That's it? Cool?
Yeah.
You want to do our download of the week?
Yeah.
Should we let Adam do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said, did so good with the Geek Speak of the Week, so we'll let you jump right into the download of the week. It's a very, very cool download, and I'm sure it's right up your alley because it does concern either Apple or Google. Take it away, Adam.
Anybody want to guess which one? No. This is a Google download of the week, actually. This is Google Talk, the new Google Instant Messaging service from Google.
Ah, but it's not just an instant messaging service.
No, not with Google.
The word talk means more than just chat. It does, in fact, mean talk.
Talk, literally. Like we're talking to you.
Like you can put a microphone and speakers, which you probably already have speakers on your computer, but you can put a microphone or a headset with a microphone or whatever kind of microphone you would like, and you can actually talk to the person at the other end.
That's right.
And it's just as easy as initiating any kind of instant messenger session. You just click the little talk button and talk. They also have an email button, so you could email. Imagine that.
I never would have guessed.
So Google Talk.
No phone lines needed either.
That's right.
No phone lines needed. Unless you use dial-up, and then
you need a phone line.
So Google Talk is the download of the week. What else does it say there about Google Talk, or what else do you know about Google Talk that makes it so cool that people got to check it?
Well, if for some reason you don't actually want to get the Google Talk program, there are some other programs you can use that support the Google Talk service, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because Google Talk, if you're really kind of techie, the Google Talk program rides what's called the Jabber Network. So
yes.
It's already a pre-existing kind of platform that was there, and Google Talk is just a new piece of software to take advantage of that network that already exists. So if you have things like Trillian
or
Gush, or there's probably a dozen other client programs out there that all use the Jabber Network.
Yeah.
They're all kind of consolidated programs that will allow you to talk to people who are on Google Talk or on MSN Instant Messenger or Yahoo Messenger or AOL Instant Messenger or ICQ, all those things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of programs that consolidate all that into one little nifty program so you don't have to have 10 things for all your different groups of friends.
That's right. And at the Google website, if you're interested in using Google Talk on some of the major clients like Trillian or ADM for Mac OS, they have instructions on how to set that up on all those different programs.
So you can find the link to that at our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section and find the download of the week or go straight to Google Talk at google.com/talk. That'll get you there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or you can do the old talk.google.com, but people get confused with that whole kind of something other than www in the front. They get all confused.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's enough about Google Talk. Let's move on and see if we can help out Chris, who's next up here on the Computer Corner. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Question I've got my main system in my house is an XP home system, and I'm using it as a kind of a server. It's not a gateway. I've got a wireless gateway that I use for my other computers to access the internet. But I've been using it as a server to do my backup to.
Okay.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, if I back it all up to this one computer and it hits the bucket, then I'm SOL on all the rest of them as well.
You certainly are, my friend.
So I put a USB, external USB drive on it.
Okay.
And I can see it from, it's shared to the network, but I can't see it on any of the clients.
Okay, when you say it's shared to the network, what does that mean?
That means I have enabled sharing on the USB drive itself on the server computer.
Okay, so the machine that's acting as the quote-unquote server has this external drive, and you right-clicked on the drive in my computer, went down to sharing and security, and say, I want to share this thing.
I want to share it with everybody, yeah.
Okay, so now you go on to one of the other machines.
Can't see it. I can see all the other drives on the server computer, but not the USB drive.
Hmm.
And it's even stranger is I can see a USB attached PC card, a photo card or something like that, a compact flash card on it as a USB drive.
Right.
But I can't see a an actual physical hard drive.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. So what I would probably try to do is unshare it and reshare it just to make sure that something isn't kind of screwed up with the sharing.
Okay.
And then you also want to make sure that you go into the properties of the sharing or the security of the sharing,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that you've enabled it for all users or some kind of equivalent of that, so that it's not an issue with just a rights issue.
Okay.
Something else that I'd probably try is creating a folder in the USB drive and then sharing the folder instead of the entire drive.
Rather than just the whole drive.
Right. It's a long shot, but it could work.
But there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to share an external drive to the other machines on the network. They'll just see it as a network resource. So there's no technical reason why it shouldn't work. So there's just something that isn't quite happening on your end, and you're going to have to just try a couple of things, and
I'm
guessing something's going to work. All right?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good luck with that, Chris.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was an easy one. He's trying to just share something, and it doesn't want to share. His computer's kind of greedy. It says, nah, I don't want to. Let's see if we can help out Bruce as easily, who has some questions, I think, about wireless stuff. Bruce, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Well, thank you. I have a 3-computer network in my home running on a B wireless, I've got some printers hooked up USB to two of the laptops. My question is this: what exactly is Bluetooth? Do I ever need it? Will I ever need it with this network? Do you use them one or the other, or there's some cases where you'd use both? Tell me about Bluetooth.
Okay, Bluetooth is a wireless technology, but it really wasn't developed for networking or didn't have networking in mind when it was developed. It's more for, do you remember back in the old days, and I use the term very loosely because this was a couple years ago, when they were trying to really promote infrared with your computers?
Sure.
And you could, especially notebook computers, they still exist. There's a little infrared port that nobody really knew what to do with, but what they were supposed to do for you is you could use that infrared port to maybe, let's say, talk to your printer. So that with your notebook computer especially, you could sit down on your desk and your printer could be 10 feet away, and you could beam your print jobs to your printer.
Mm.
Sound like a cool idea, except for because infrared technology requires line of sight, kind of like your remote control with your television. It wasn't a real perfect technology, and it was subject to lots of problems, and so it never really quite caught on. Bluetooth was kind of designed to replace that. And so it was designed to take 2 computers and let them talk to each other, but generally it went beyond that, and it was more like I have a PDA, a Palm Pilot.
Right.
And it's designed to allow my Palm Pilot to talk to my PC without wires, so I can synchronize without wires.
Oh.
Or for your network or your notebook computer to talk to your printer. Or more, what it's gotten a lot of use out of these days is your cell phone. A lot of times is Bluetooth enabled, and you
can get
a little headset that you can put on. And so your headset and your phone are synchronized to each other without any kind of wires using Bluetooth technology.
That's where I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really where it's more for devices to communicate with each other than it is for networking, although it could be used kind of like a network. It does have a fairly small range, generally no more than about 30 feet you're going to get out of Bluetooth, where with your wireless networking things like your wireless B, wireless G, your pre-N, your wireless A, all those other kind of things that are out there, you can get several hundred feet, maybe up to 1,000 feet, depending on the antenna and things you use.
Sure. So it's not something I would probably use on a computer kind of network, or for like the phone and stuff.
Yeah, for networking, few PCs, really, that's not what it's designed to do.
Okay.
It's more, like I said, again, to take a device and non-PC devices to synchronize PC devices with non-PC devices, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, as a matter of fact. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that all you had a question with?
That's all. I wonder what it was.
All right. Well, we're glad we could help you out, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Another easy one. These are easy ones. These are like softball questions here.
Awesome.
I think even Adam could answer these things.
Hey.
What do you think? So, Adam, what have you done in your house on a personal level? What have you done to make sure that should disaster strike, your data that you care about's there for you when you need it?
Well, I keep backups of most of my important stuff on CD-ROMs, and I keep those CD-ROMs in their nice little protective plastic cases, and I keep them, you know, out of somewhere where a major disaster would be likely to happen.
So you just back up to CD-ROMs, and CD-ROM can be a good place to back up because it's convenient. Most every PC these days has a CD burner installed, and CDs are real inexpensive.
Yeah.
it is kind of sometimes a problem for people who aren't real technical, because there's a limitation of how much data you can store on a CD. And so trying to figure out how to stuff all your stuff onto CDs can sometimes be tough. The other thing is you got to figure out where your stuff is and then put it on CDs.
And then remember to actually put a CDR in there.
Right. And you have to burn it. It's something, it's a manual thing. So we found that manual things, oftentimes people always kind of put things off and say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. If they've got to think about it, if they got to remember it, if they got to do something, it's less likely to get done. But for Adam, it works real well. The nice thing about putting it on CDs is that CDs, if you were in New Orleans and you lived in New Orleans and you'd backed it up to CDs and you had to evacuate and you didn't, weren't able to take those CDs with you, well, if and when you go back, assuming your house is still there, those CDs aren't going to be damaged at all because they're plastic.
Yeah, you could throw a CD in the water and then take it out, dry it off, and it's going to work perfectly fine.
Yeah, so that's one good thing about CDs. They're not subject to any kind of magnetic forces.
Yeah.
Electrical surges and things won't hurt them. Obviously, heat will hurt them, and stepping on them will hurt them.
Alligators.
But the
they
other,
hurt just about everything.
They're
else
a decent way to back up as long as you know where the stuff is that you want to back up is. And so that's usually the biggest reason why we kind of say, well, CDs generally aren't a very good way to back up for most people, because most people have no idea where the stuff is that they really want.
True.
But I just thought I'd put you on the spot a little and figure out if you were doing something proactive, something preventative, something should disaster strike, because you know, you're very well aware that it can happen to anyone, and it does happen to everyone at some point.
That's right.
I'll ask you when we come back, Chad.
Oh, no.
Maybe I'll go out and we'll take a wireless mic and walk around the studio. I think I see Dr. Art sitting out there. He's scratching his head, figuring out what he's going to talk about next hour. We'll find out what Dr. Art does to back up his computer, if he even uses a computer. He might not. You never
Probably
know.
Probably not. It's not healthy.
Yeah, he might have somebody that do that for him. You never know.
I need one of those people.
We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got time for more of your calls. We got Andy and Larry who have questions. We got a line open, 602-277-5827. Time for a quick timeout. When we come back, those calls, your questions. It's the Computer Corner News Radio, 620 KTAR.